For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, where we last left off was chapter 17, verse 2. We are discussing Avraham Avinu getting the commandment of the Bris Milah. We've been talking about Yitzchak Avinu, the first Jew to have a Bris Milah 8 days old. And we mentioned a lot of things we derive from the name Yitzchak, what it represents. I just want to make one final point on that, and then we're going to go on and talk about Bris Milah. Yitzchak, again, the children of Yitzchak, us, the Jewish people, who do the ultimate chuk, the ultimate statute, illogical law, again, from the word Yitzchak, Yatzachuk. And what is that illogical law? Of Ketzchai. Again, rearranging Yitzchak's letters, Ketzchai. We do Yatzachuk of Ketzchai. We do the illogical chuk statute of being willing, Ketzchai, to give up our lives, to end our lives for the sake of God. Therefore, that will yield us eternal life. Kates, Chai Lekates. Again, a rearranging of Yitzchak's name, Chai Lekates, to live forever. Okay, Bris Milah, let's talk more about it. And we already mentioned, of course, that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't make man with a Bris Milah representative, that just as man is left to perfect himself physically, so too it teaches us how we're supposed to perfect ourselves spiritually, and in general, how we're supposed to be a partner with Kadosh Baruch Hu in creation. With our own physicality, our spirituality, and the world at large, we are supposed to work on all these arenas continuously and be a part of Hashem in creation. And just as we're supposed to perfect the entire world into making it a dwelling place, a mishkan that Hashem can dwell in, so what do we start with? We start with our own body, Olam Katan, a microcosm of the world, our own body. We perfect it to make it proper for Hashem to dwell within us, right? And then we go out and extend that with the world as well. And again, the special sign, the Bris Milah, this seal of the master on his servant, on this part of the body, we said, represents the eternity of the race, right? And that's why it's on that organ, which represents the continuation of the Jewish people. And that makes us different, and our mission different than all the other nations, right? They can have a circumcision, but only we have a Bris Milah. And another representative representation of the Bris Milah, as we mentioned, 8 days beyond nature, is that the Milah, in contrast to those who dedicate their lives to physicality and are limited to physical forces, we, the Bris Milah, shows we rise above that, above Teva, above nature. A lot of this we're quoting is from the Chinuch. Also, you should know, Milah, it's very interesting. The first Jew to have it 8 days year old, we said was the first korban, was the first offering, was the first sacrifice. And from him we learned the whole concept of sacrificing animals for human beings as sacrifices. In other words, not that we believe in human sacrifice, but that really, by the letter of strict law, we deserve to be up there on the altar for our sins. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his mercy, lets us substitute animals, as he did with Yitzchak. A ram was substituted at Kadosh Yitzchak. Well, Milah is very representative of this, because Milah, in a sense, is greater than a korban, is greater than a sacrifice, and has some similarity to it. Why? Because a korban, you see, you know, you buy it with money, right? But and then you offer up the animal. But a Milah is our actual body, and it's counted like korban. It's actually a part of our body we're offering up. And of course, metaphysically, this has a lot of representations. The whole idea of a Milah, the Orla, the foreskin, when you circumcise the baby, it's also, you know, a Jew is circumcising his heart. He's removing the thick skin from his heart so he can feel Yiddishkeit. He can be sensitive and then be a true servant of Hashem and get away from the physicality, for its own sake, that is. And that, you know, the Orla of the world, the foreskin of the world, the surface of the, you know, that were selfish pleasures, we have to remove that and reveal what's concealed, Hashem's essence in everything. So this is also represented in Milah. Of course, it's on that organ. It also represents that a person is supposed to harness his animalistic nature to serve Hashem with it as well. Because again, that's a very holy thing. You know, that's you come the highest summit of being a partner with God in bringing life into the world. Or, you know, a person can do the opposite. He can misuse it. So a mila dafka on that organ represents to bring kedusha into the most animalistic nature part of man. So it says, Avram Avinu sits at the door of Gehenna and does not allow anyone to enter Gehenna. He like protects his children from Gehenna, whoever has a bris mila. Whoever has a bris mila, Avram Avinu protects him, does not let them enter Gehenna. Actually, it's hinted to in the first verse of the next parsha. It says that Avram Yeshev Pesach Ha'ayel Kecham Hayom. Avram was sitting at the opening of the tent in the heat of the day. So they say that represents also, in addition to the literal meaning, that he sits at the gate, at the opening of the tent, the opening of the gate of Gehenna, Kecham Hayom, the heat of the day, the heat of Gehenna, and he doesn't allow any of his children, his offspring, to enter there who's had his bris, the bris Avram, bris mila. Okay, now we're going to go to actual text. Just to emphasize again, the bris mila, you know, we said there's no sacrifices today, but really, you know, in a certain sense, a bris mila is man's personal korban to Hashem, his personal sacrifice to Hashem. Okay, now back to the text. Okay, again, v'Avram ben Tishim Shanav Tesha Shanim, Avram was 99 years old, v'Yirah Hashem al Avram, v'Yomala ben Ikel Shachai, he said, Lech Lefnav Yatamim, I'm the Lord your God, and go before me and be perfect. Verse 2, v'Etna Brisi Beniu Venecha, this will be my covenant between me and you, the arba oischa b'moed moed, and I'll make you very numerous. Okay, so make men very numerous, pashtus it means we're talking about the future descendants of Avram, because we know Avram himself, Avram of Sarah, only had Yitzchak. So it's very interesting. Both interpretations, of course, are true. It does mean very many. And, of course, that's going to be through one son, Yitzchak, who, besides the fact in quality, he's like many. Bala Turim says on it, Arbe, that I'll make you many, but gematria, in numerical value, equals Yitzchak. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Vayepol Avram Alpana, Vayedaberito Elohim, Lamor. Avram fell on his face, and Hashem spoke to him, saying, Ani hine brisi, Itach va'yisla av hamon goyim. Okay, this is Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. I'm going to make a covenant with you, says Hashem, and you shall be the father of many nations. Okay? Now, one of the big tests of the Bris Mila is Avram felt that, this was like a test against logic for Avram Avinu. And again, as we mentioned before, his main fear, if we can use that word, was that he would lose the attraction of followers that he could possibly bring under the belief of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, his constant obsession with the sanctification of God's name, of making people aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, doing this bizarre act, I mean, I say bizarre, it would look bizarre to other people, he was afraid that he would lose his hashpa on other people. As, you know, people wouldn't approach him anymore, they would think he's nuts. So therefore, this pasuk, Hashem is telling Avram Avinu, no, not only won't you lose a following, you will now be more successful than ever. Because up until this time, your name being Avram, you were the father of Aram, of the Jewish people, basically. And now, as we're going to see shortly, Avram's name is going to be changed to Avraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. In other words, really, Avram is like Adam HaRishon. There's like really three first men. There's Adam, you know, from him came all of creation. And then when the Mabul, the flood came, Noah, in a certain sense, was the first man. And now, since those generations, the 10 generations between Adam and Noah failed, and the 10 generations between Noah and Avram failed, now the mission of mankind is given to Avram Avinu. He becomes like the first man. He is the father of everybody, Av Hamon Goyim, and that's why all converts, by the way, are considered Ben Avram. They're considered a child of Avram. And this is really a Rambam, Rambam, Maimonides, who says that the spiritual, that this, from this verse, the spiritual mission of mankind has gone from Adam and to Avraham Avinu. And as a matter of fact, Kabbalistically, mystically, the Mila itself, the purpose of the Mila, was to help the Jew return back to the spiritual state of Adam. Now, Adam, before the sin, was already he was born circumcised. What happened after the sin? After the sin, it says his foreskin was extended over that organ. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So now the Bris Mila, the mitzvah, is given to Avram. The mission of mankind is given to Avram, the first Jew. And part of that mission, part of that purpose, is to help the Jew return to the spiritual state of Adam before the sin, which is represented by having that orla, having the foreskin removed. Okay? So Avram is going to be an Avraham and Goyim. Verse 5. V'lo yikra od et shimcha Avram, and therefore your name is not going to be called Avram anymore. V'ya shimcha Avraham. Your name is going to be Avraham. Ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. Again, repeat it, because you're going to be the father of many nations. Avraham, the father of many nations. Okay. What's interesting here is that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is involved in all the names of the Avos, of the patriarchs. Here Hashem changes Avraham's name to Avraham. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram specifically to call the child Yitzchak. That's a direct command from Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu's name is changed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael. The purpose of the world, the purpose of creation, was for Avraham. The purpose of creation, the mission of mankind, as we mentioned just a couple minutes ago, went from Adam, who failed those 10 generations, to Noah, who failed those 10 generations, and now to Avraham Avinu, the Jewish people, who would get the Torah and fulfill the obligation of mankind, the spiritual obligation of mankind. This is hinted to at the beginning of the Torah. Bereshis, okay? Bereshis, for two things, the letter base, for two things, the world was created. Two things that are called Reshis, and that is Yisrael, the nation of Israel is called a Reshis, were the first, and Torah is called a Reshis. For these two things, the world was created. Okay, for the sake, and they go hand in hand, for the sake that Israel would accept the Torah, right, was the creation. In fact, the creation of the world was like hanging in the balance, waiting to see, in fact, if Israel would accept the Torah. It would have a kiyum, it would be established. If not, it would return back to Tohu Vohu. So, also, okay, it's continuing in Bereshis. What does it say? Continuing specifically with the first Jew, Avraham Avinu. In chapter 2, verse 4, when the story of creation is summarized again, Eile Todosh HaShemayim Ba'ar, these are generations of the heavens and the earth, Behi Bar'am, when they were created. So that word, those letters, B'Baram, when they're created, rearranged, spell the Avraham. In other words, B'Shvil Avraham, for the sake of Avraham, the world was created. It had a kiyum. Humanity failed until Avraham Avinu came along, who accepted and achieved the purpose, accepted the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Pasuk Vav. Verse 6, I'll make you, multiply you very much, exceedingly, and you'll become, nations will come of you, and kings will come out of you. Okay? Shvi, Pasuk Zion, verse 7, I will establish my covenant between myself and you, uvenzarecha, and your descendants, acharecha, ledarasam, forever, the bris olam, everlasting covenant, an everlasting covenant, leyos lecha leelokim, uzaracha acharecha, thou shalt be to you as a god, and to your seed forever. Elohim, in this case, is like the god of a special hashkocha protis, a special personal supervision. We're not under any mazel or any other agency like the other nations. of God's delegates, if you will. Each one has a tsar, these nations, an angel kind of looking over them. We're under the direct hashkacha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, verse 8. I'm going to give you and your descendants after you the land of your inhabitant, as kol eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan. Of course, this is Eretz Yisrael. La'chuzas oilam. This is going to be an eternal possession to you. Ve'yisi lahem le'elokim, and I'll be to you as a God. Again, stressing over and over again this the personal hashgacha pratis, the personal divine supervision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Jewish people. That's unique, and it's with nobody else. Verse 9, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham. Hashem says to Avraham, V'ata es brisi tishmor. Again, you have to, obey the command of the bris milah. Ata v'zara'acha charecha dorsam. You should do this, you and your descendants, for all generations. Now, you see how many times this is being stressed and repeated. And it's interesting, most Jews until this generation, no matter how far away they were from Torah Judaism, like this one thing everybody did, the Bris Milah. No one would think of not giving their child the Bris Milah. It's interesting, this generation is a big problem, not anywhere. Okay, verse 10. Zayis Brisi Asher Tishmru B'nir V'nechum V'nzaracha Acharecha Amolachem Kol Zachar. Now what exactly is this covenant that you should keep between me and you and your descendants forever? It's going to be a circumcision of every male. Verse 11, Unamaltam es basar arloschem. You shall remove, you should circumcise the flesh of the foreskin. Vayala ois bris benivanechem. And should be a sign of a covenant between me and you. And you see again how important this is, the special, the seal of the master on his servants, how many times it's repeated. Very few mitzvahs are called an ois, a special sign, tefillin, tzitzis, shabbos, yontov, the bris milah. Okay, there might be some others, but very few mitzvahs are, they have a special significance, a special kesher that ties us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Verse 12, Yudbeis, Pasuk Yudbeis, Uven Shmoinas Yamin Yimo Lechem Kol Zachar. On the eighth day, you should circumcise every male. The Dorisechem forever. You lead bias. Umiknas kesa b'chol mikol ben nachar asher lo mizaracha hu. Okay, not only your children, your son shall you circumcise, but also anybody you acquire by money, anybody that's a slave in your house that belongs to you. Verse 13, Himo Yimo Yilid Beischa, you shall circumcise everybody of your house. Now, the double language, Himo Yimo, I'll finish the verse and we'll go back to find out why it repeats that. Umiknas kaspecha v'yasab brisi b'vizarchem l'bri saylam. Okay, and this covenant should be in your flesh. Again, forever. It's amazing how many times the word bris is repeated, the covenant, and that should be forever, the dorasam, the oilam, and it's between me and you. Again, how very important the bris milah is, as we've stressed. Now, the double language, himo yimo, in verse 13 here, at the very beginning, there's a lot of halachas that are learned out from here. The Gemara says in the Avodah Zarah, hamol yimo, is telling us mikan lamila has to be mishu moel hu yamil. For only if someone who has a bris mila can give another one a bris mila. That's one thing they learn from the double language. Another thing from the Yerushalmi Shabbos that we learn from here, himol yimol, which you can translate as being you should circumcise someone that's circumcised, mikan. Mishanoilad mol tsarech dam bris, that someone who is born without a foreskin still has to be given what's called a dam bris, dam mila, and that is some blood is drawn from that area. Okay, so and therefore that's considered the circumcision. Since the foreskin's already removed, he still needs an act to be considered having a bris mila. Another thing learned, himo yimo, is that there's Mikan Shtei Milois, the same Gemara in Shabbos and Yerushalmi, Achan Lemila Vachas Lepriya, that there's two parts to the Mila. There's the actual cutting of the skin and the peeling back of that foreskin. Okay? So those are just some of the halakhas that we learn out from this dang double language, Hamol Yimol. I'm not sure on this, but I think the second part of this Mila, the Priya, was not, there wasn't a Chiyuv on Klal Yisrael until we actually entered Israel, until we entered the land of Israel proper. I don't think we had to have it, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Okay, moving on, verse 14, Pasuk Yudalad, V'arol Zachar Asher Lo Yimol Es Basar Alaso, an uncircumcised male who refuses to circumcise the flesh, his flesh. In other words, obviously a father usually does this. That's, by the way, the mitzvah is supposed to be the father does it. And since not all fathers are experts in this area, and we don't want to take a chance of injuring the child, obviously. So what does it do? He makes the male a shliach. You know, he makes him his agent, and the male is really doing it on behalf of the father. Now, if for some reason that was neglected, when the child reaches 13, it's incumbent upon himself to get a circumcision. And if he does not, what happens? V'nikras ha'nefesh ha'hima mea, he has what's called koras. He's cut off from his people. As brisi hefar, you know, like measure for measure, he rejected like my covenant, so in a certain sense he's like rejected. Now, what is Karis? That's something that's debated. What exactly is the punishment of Karis? Some people say, some of the commentaries in Forshim Chazal say, that Karis is that, in this case at least, if there's no Mila and past the age of 20, okay, past the age of 20, that the Karis will be that the person will die childless. Or others say it means an untimely death, a non-normal death. Other people say karis means a complete cutting off. It literally means cut off. Cutting off, no oilam haba chalila. Okay? He won't be given a chance to do tshuva. Or he'll die prematurely, between 50 and 60. As a matter of fact, I think there was I think there's a Mice in the Gemara that there's that's when certain you know, sages, when they reach the age of 50 or 60, they used to throw a make a feast that day because they passed the age of Karis. Okay, other meanings of the word Karis, it could also mean that you could just completely ostracize, whether that means physically or spiritually, from Kol Yisrael, but either way, it's not good. Okay. And finally, another one of our the Chazal tell us that Karis means that these blessings to Avraham Avinu, which we're seeing in our parsha, and we're going to see in next parsha, Vayera, at the end of Kedis Yitzchak, all these wonderful brachas of the eternity of Klal Yisrael and the special divine providence that's over us, our special relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, all these blessings and more of Avraham Avinu no longer are guaranteed to this individual who did not have the Bris Mila. Okay, Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham, Hashem said Avraham, Sarai Yishtecha lo sikra es Shema Sarai. Sarah's name is not going to be Sarah anymore. He's Sarah Shema. Her name will now be Sarah. Okay, Sarah, the name being a princess, she too will go up with you in your name. In other words, now that your name is Avraham, she too goes up in stature because of you. And she is now the princess of the entire world. The Torah Tamina quotes the Gemara Ksuvis, Kisar Shema de Isha Imbaila Oila Imo, that a woman moves up with her husband. He rises in stature, she automatically moves up with him. Maybe that's one of the Isha Kagufo, a lady, a wife is supposed to be considered like part of your body. So they're one Zach. They say a man and woman, their soul is like one soul, and it comes out of the world, they're divided in two. But anyway, Isha Imbaila Oila Imo, she goes up with him. Okay? He goes up to greatness, so automatically her name has to be changed to Sarah. And therefore, right here, right after Avraham Avinu, is his name changed to Avraham, right here, that's why her name has to be changed to Sarah. Interesting. You know, we learn that one of the ways a person can change a gzar din, a decree, is by a change of name. That's why, Chalila, we should never know from if someone's deathly ill. You know, the custom is, if his name is Baruch, whatever, we call him Chaim Baruch, whatever it is, we change the name, so perhaps the gzar din that was on this guy will not be on this new name, which describes a new essence of the person. So we know that Sari Meno, of course, was barren to this point. So Shinu Hishem Kora Gzar Dino Shel Adam, right? The change of a name, that tears off the decree, about a decree of judgment on a person. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns it out from here. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, V'chsiv uverachti oisa v'gam nasasi mimena lach ben. And that we're about to read it. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses Sarah, and from her you're going to have a son. Of course, that's going to be Yitzchak. Now, the name Sarah, okay, means that the Yud at the end of her name was lost, and instead came Hay. Now, what I'm about to tell you, I don't profess to understand, but the Yud, this is very mystical stuff, but the Yud came up and complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was being taken off the name of a tzedekus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu pacified him several ways. One, yes, you're being taken off as the last letter of a tzedekus, but I'm going to add you to the first, you're going to be the first letter of a tzaddik. Hosea's name was changed to Yehoshua. So there's the Yud. So that pacified the Yud. Okay, other things happen in the Yud. You know, Yud in Gematria is 10, right? And she, instead of getting a Yud at the end of her name, Sarai, got Sarah, a Hey, which is 5, which still leaves another 5. And that other Hey went to Abraham. He got the Hey. So in other words, the Yud of Sarah got divided into 2 Heys, a Hey for Sarah and a Hey for Abraham. Okay? Or another insight is that really the name of the son in proper dikduk, Hebrew grammar, I guess, should have been called Tzchak, laughter. And instead it's called Yitzchak because the Yud of Sarah's name moved to the front of Tzchak to pronounce it Yitzchak. Okay? By the way, Sari Meinu is the only woman to have her name changed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. In fact, she's the only woman that Hashem actually spoke to. Okay. Interesting that, you know, the connection between Yud and He here, you know, we learn out in Bereishis that Ish and Isha basically have the same letters, except Ish has a Yud, Isha has a He, right? It's a very popular word, and that Yud and He spell Hashem's name, right? And therefore, when, you know, a man and wife are dwelling properly, then the Shekhinah dwells amongst them. So it's interesting, the first Jews, you know, the first two Yidden, Avraham Avinu and Sarai Meinu, right, have this Yidden hay chain, so to speak. I don't know if there's a connection there, but it's an interesting insight. At any rate, verse 16 tells us a miracle happens. Uverach di'oisa, I'm going to bless Sarai Meinu, says Hashem, v'gam nasasi memena lach ben, from her will come a son. This is what we read from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that we learned that a change of name, right, tears up a decree of judgment on a person from this verse. And you see that Sarai Meinu's name was changed to Sarah, and therefore, now suddenly she's able, she's being told that she'll have a son. Uverachtia, al blesser, vayasa, legoyim, v'malchi ami, memena you. And great nations, kings, will come from her. Okay, now, the miracle here is, you know, if you remember, we read at the end of Noah that Sarai Meinu ain't la vlad. Not only was she a car, she was barren, she had no womb. Physically impossible. And now Kodesh Baruch Hu actually formed ovaries within Sarai Meinu, which she did not have until us now, and gave her abundant milk and everything else. So this is a tremendous physical miracle within Sarai Meinu's body. It says also that she became young again. She lost wrinkles, whatever, and she gained a youthfulness again. Okay, Pasuk Yud Zion, verse 17. What's Avram Avinu's reaction to all this? Vayipol Avram Alponov, Avram Avinu falls on his face by Yitzchak, And he laughs. Vayomer b'libo, and he said to himself, Halaben mea shana yevaled. You know, it's unbelievable. Look what's happening. 100-year-old man will give birth. Ve'im sara habas tishim shana teled. And so my wife, 90-year-old lady, will be able to conceive and give birth. Has anybody ever heard of such a thing? So, Vayitzchak, Avram fell by Yitzchak. Now we have a similar language with Sarimenu, that she also laughed. And it was a different type of laughter. Her laugh was a laugh of disbelief, if you will. Well, I'll quote you the Rashi here. The Rashi says the following. This laughter of Avram Avinu Yitzchak, okay, this is Lashon Simcha, right? A language of tremendous joy, of belief. Lamanachat teach you Sha'Avram Himin V'Samach, that Avram believed. He had a higher level of Amunah. And he laughed. V'sar, he laughed with joy. V'sar lo yimina. And sar yimenu, she did not believe. And her laugh was a laughter of non-belief. V'zeh sheik pita kodesh baruch hu sara v'lo ik pita l'Avram. And that's why kodesh baruch hu was exacting with sar. He was a little upset with sar yimenu and not with Abraham. Okay? Verse 18, v'yom Abraham el ha'lukim. And Avram said to Hashem, Lu Yishma Yechiel lefnecha, oh, if only Yishma would live before. In other words, if only Yishma would be do tshuva, would become a tzaddik, he'd be righteous. That's what Avram means by life. He means truly life. Kosh Baruch Hu answered his prayer, and as we know, Yishma did do tshuva before he died. Now, verse 19 is going to tell us again that Avram Avinu's laughter was a laugh of full belief, of out just joy, and therefore by Yom Elohim of Asar Yishcha Yiladischa Ben, but be, you know, sorry, your wife, she's going to give birth to you a son. Ve'karas Eshmo Yitzchak, you should call him Yitzchak, and this is proof that Avram's laughter was that of Amuna and of joy, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram to name him, in fact, Yitzchak, after that Amuna and joy that he displayed. And I will continue my covenant, I will establish my covenant with him, with Yitzchak, not Yishmael, Lebris Ailam Lazar Acharav, for everlasting covenant forever. Now, this is going to emphasize the crucial test, how difficult and how traumatic the test of Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. Because here, as you know, for so many years, Avram Avinu waited to finally have a Yitzchak, and here in this verse he is guaranteed that the nation of Israel will be established, the covenant will be established through Yitzchak. After all this, and Yitzchak is up to 37 years old, and he's not married, he does not have children, and Avram Avinu is asked by Kodesh Baruch Hu to do the Nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak, to do the ultimate test of sacrifice, not just Yitzchak, but that's the whole Jewish people, okay? So that should be, we should bear that in mind. And one other note, and that is, it's interesting, I don't know the exact connection, but there's only four people that were told that their names would be what they wore before they were actually born, okay? Yitzchak Achad Me'ela Shenikra Lem Shem Achno Nolada. Yitzchak was one of these four. The other three was Yishmael, as we learn, Yeshiyahu, and Shlomo HaMelech. It's interesting, one of the Midrashim says that maybe Yaakov Avinu is included in this, because it says there, and Parshas told us, Vayikra Es Shmo Yaakov, that you should call the child's name Yaakov. So that is going that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you should call him Yaakov. It's not clear there in the verse, but according to one Medrash at least, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that commanded them to call him Yaakov. Verse 20, Uli Yishmael Shematicha, as far as Yishmael goes, yep, I heard you. Hine barach the Yisa, I'm going to bless him, rephrase the Yisa, I'm going to verbase the Yisa, he's going to be mod, mod, he's going to become many, shnei masar nesim, he's going to have 12, princes, yorli, nasisav, legoi, gadol. 12, interesting, we have 12 tribes, and the Havdol, he has 12 Nisim. Okay. But despite that, verse 21, realize, Vesbrisi Akim es Yitzchak, my covenant will be established with Yitzchak. It's repeated again. Asher Tele Lacha Sar Lamoid Azeb Beshana Sacheres. That Sarah will give birth at this time in next year. Verse 22, V'yichal daber eto v'yal Elohim al Avram. So he finished talking. Akash Baruch finished talking to Avram v'yal, and he went up from off Avram. From here, Gemara learns out Hatzadikim Merkavaso Shumakom. They're the Merkava of Hashem. Tzadikim, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in particular are the chariots of Hashem. And this is a very mystical concept. But basically, a chariot is completely subservient to the person driving it. It's completely null and void to do the will of the driver. And that is what Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all about. They are just pure receptacles to do the will of Hashem with no self, no ego. That's part of the concept of the Merkava. We have a similar language, Yaakov Avinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rose up, and we have a similar commentary there. Okay, verse 23. Vayikach Avram Yisishmo Bono, Vesko Yelidei Beiso, Vesko Miknas Kasvo Kol Zachar Banshe Beis, Avram Yemalas Barsar Aloysam, Beitzim Yemazek, Asher Diberi Ito Elohim. So Avram took Yishmol, his son, and all of his household, right, and all the male households, and they were mild, they were circumcised, be'etzem hayomazeh, at the precise day, okay? And that's significant. By the way, you know, it says there, Yishmol b'no, his son Yishmol, and you see before that Avram Avinu prayed, Lu Yishmol, Oy, Alavai, the Yishmol shall live before you. And this is going to heighten and for us to realize, really, that Yishmol was very beloved to Avram Avinu. He loved Yishmol dearly. And there's going to be a test involving that where he has to kick Yishmol out. And when he hears that is a thing to do, that is the Ratzon Hashem, he does that. But don't make the mistake to think that, yeah, Yishmol was no good. I mean, you can, you know, Yishmol may not have been any good. He did tshuva at the end. But the fact is, Avram Avinu loved him dearly. And he felt the only chance of Yishmol becoming a mensch was staying with the environment of Yitzchak. It was a wrong cheshbon, whatever it was. But the fact is, it was a severe test to kick out Yishmol. He loved him dearly. Okay, now these words, be'etzem hayom hazeh, we see come up a few more times. It means at this precise time. So that could mean that this was someone in the commentary says this was the birthday of Avram. That's what it means. Be'etzem, at this very day, right? Precisely, it was birthday of Avram Yishmol, and they did the Bris Milah. Or be'etzem yom haday, yom hazeh is referring to Yom Kippur. And as a matter of fact, it says, as the commentary says, that on Yom Kippur, let me find it. Okay, here it is. The Medrash says, "Vetzmi Azad." This refers to Yom Kippur, and that the Mila, Avram Avinu did the Mila on Yom Kippur, and therefore, this is very interesting. Every Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Dam Mila, the blood of that Mila of Avram Avinu, and because of that, forgives us for our sins. Okay? So, that's another insight. Some people say it was Pesach. But the Etzem HaYom HaZeh that we started to mention, that we find at other places, is with Moshe dying. It uses that same language, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, and meaning there at the heat of the day, the brightness of the day. In other words, so Klal Yisrael went and said, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu was taken at night, Klal Yisrael would have said, you know, had he been taken during the day, we would have stopped it. We wouldn't have let him be taken. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, mamish, in the middle of the day, so they couldn't say that. We have the same occurrence with Noah and the Ark, that the cynics of that generation wouldn't be able to say, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Noah and the Ark at night, Ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he brought him at night. If he brought him during the day, we would have let Noach enter the ark. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it right smack in the middle of the day, right? And still at Chatzais, and to show that everybody was powerless when it comes as far as being against what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. When Noach entered the ark, or as a Moshe Rabbeinu dying, or this Bris Milah, where no sinners could say, oh, that crazy old man, you know, doing this mutilation to his body, if it was, you know, during the middle of the day, we would have stopped it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said here, Be'etzmiyom Hazeh, Mamish in the middle of the day, Persumines, right, Persumines, and no one could stop it. Here, by the way, is the Lashon of the Das Kanim by Tosfos, as far as the Bris Milah, according to that opinion that it was on Yom Kippur. Afkan Yom Kippur b'chol shana b'shana Kadosh Baruch Hu roe adam briso shel Avraham Avinu u'mekaper lanu al kol avonoseinu. That every year Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur sees the dam bris milah, as we mentioned, and he forgives us for our sins. Again, masi avos chus avos that we eat off of. Now, the actual bris milah, we're going to learn, you know, Avraham Avinu was very old. There's a debate, you know, did he circumcise himself and then circumcise everybody else, right? Or if he, you know, would have been in a weakened condition, not be able to do that, and therefore he circumcised everybody else and circumcised himself last. So that's debated. We'll go inside, and then I'll show you this commentary, interesting commentary. Okay, first, verse 24. Avraham ben tishim teisha shana bimola basar alaso. The pasuk emphasized Avraham Avinu was 99 years old. The greatness of Avraham Avinu at this old age, right? And it was a very difficult major surgery on the body. Remember back then, I believe at this point it was stone that they used, like a flintstone. A very painful thing. Avraham Avinu went ahead with this severe test. For Yishmael b'no ben Shloshes Reis Shana b'imolo Esbar Arlaso. And Yishmael also, he was a grown man. He was 13 years old, that is. You know, he wasn't a child. And as we mentioned before, the merit of this, he gets a reward in this world, and that is that he has some sort of shaychus to Eretz Yisrael for a while. And that's why they're continuing to throw in our sides. Okay, so, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, it stresses it again, at Chatzos, in the middle of the day, Nimol Avram Yishmol Bono. Avram Yishmol, they had the Bris Milah. Verse 27, V'kol anshe beso yilad bayis u'miknas kesef mes benachar nimolo ito. Okay, and all the people of his household, all the males also had the bris milah. This concludes our lach lecha that we're going to do. Now, I wanted to mention an interesting, I think Rashi brings it down, as does the Zaskin and Bar Tosfos, that how was the bris milah done as far as Avraham Avinu? Some people say Shem did it, Shem ben Noach, right? He was someone who's born with a bris milah. As we mentioned before, the words hamo himo yimo, that said to be someone who's already circumcised to give a circumcision. Or another opinion, Daskin and Baltes brings down, I think he's quoting the Medrash, Shenal Avram Vino Sakin, Avram Vino grabbed the knife, the Achaz Bar Lasso, and he was about to cut his foreskin. When he got to the time he was about to cut it, he got a little fearful because he was an old man. He was afraid whether he'd be able to do it. And it's so it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu came to help Avraham Avinu, and he held the knife with Avraham Avinu, and like together they did it. And that's what it means. In this verse, it says a future, excuse me, it says a plural tense. It says, Vekaros imo habris, that he cut with him the bris. Now, in the past, we learned everything with Avraham Avinu. One of the things we learned from him is the Zarizim Akdim Lemitzvahs, that people that are Zariz, they do the mitzvahs as early as possible. Avraham Avinu Vayashkem, he got up early. By Kedis Yitzchak, it says that also all the mitzvahs he did at the earliest possible time to show his the chavivus how much he loved doing the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But yet here it says be'etzma yom hazeh, which Chazal tells means be'atzumo shayom, in the middle of the day, v'chatzais, and not in the morning. Because that's very interesting. The one thing that overrides zarizim makdimim the mitzvahs, to do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time is a presuma nisa. If there's a chance by doing it later, you'll have more people doing it, or more people will see the mitzvah. Okay, so that's a legitimate reason to do it, and it offsets it. It becomes a greater way, a greater hiddur mitzvah than even doing it earlier. Therefore, that's what it says, that even though Avraham Avinu, Torah Tumim brings us down, that usually Avraham Avinu did everything as quickly as possible, Sheyad Ragal, Yizdaras, the mitzvahs, B'shacharis, he usually did all his mitzvahs early in the morning, as soon as possible, Tekan, Mal Atzmo, B'chatzi Ayami, here he did the circumcision in the middle of the day, K'day Leparsam Adavar, to make the thing known. He wanted everybody to know about it, okay? And middle of the day, obviously, there'd be more people. Okay, I'd just like to close with a final word about the test, this test for Avraham Avinu doing the Bris Milah. Avraham Avinu, amazing, as we see continuously, he's willing to give up prophecy, spiritual, personal, spiritual attainments for the sake of outreach, of bringing other people in to the Shekhinah, under the wings of the Shekhinah. We see with Lot, we mentioned Avraham Avinu, as long as Lot was with him, gave up prophecy. He gave up prophecy. And as soon as Lot left him, Hashem talked to him again. And Avraham Avinu knew this. It was worth it to him. And you got to say, you know what prophecy is? You know what Nevuah is? That's Olam Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to you is Olam Haba. And Avraham Avinu was willing to give it up. And if that doesn't seem amazing to us, it's because we don't have appreciation of what Olam Haba is, of Nevuah, of speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and Avraham Avinu was willing to give it up just for the sake of helping somebody else. Now, in Pashtus, Avraham Avinu understood, you know, the fact is he understood that this world is not Olam Haba. This world is about doing mitzvahs of Hashem, about going out and helping others. And therefore, he understood that really is the Ratzon Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do mitzvahs. Olam Haba, Nevuah, prophecy. So that's, I'll have that in Olam Haba. But this world is about doing Torah, Ma'asim Tovim. Okay? So therefore, Avraham Avinu continually, you see at the opening portion of next week's Torah portion, Vayera, what happens? Avraham Avinu, he's sitting there, Kadosh Baruch Hu's talking to him, he sees three guests, he gives up talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, our ultimate high, spiritual high, Nevuah, to take care of three Arabs. How could he do that? Again, because Avraham Avinu understood what this world's all about. This world's about doing Torah and mitzvahs, about doing helping other people out. Prophecy, talking to Hashem is Gevaltik, nothing greater. That's Olam Haba. Right now I'm in Olam Hazeh. Okay, so the test of the Milah, how does this connect to the test of the Bris Milah? Well, Avraham Avinu with the Bris Milah, change of name, means a change of destiny, a new mission. Avraham already completed the mission of Avraham. Now he had a new mission. Avraham, as we mentioned, a name symbolizes a mission, right? He rose to new heights. But Avraham Avinu, in his very greatness, his new spiritual greatness. So, what was his reaction? First of all, what would our reaction be? Fantastic. We'd be elated. Avraham Avinu's reaction was not that. He was concerned. In his very greatness, he was afraid. He had created, now was a huge gulf was created between him and the rest of his potential disciples, the rest of mankind. Would he have any more hashpah on anybody? Right? He felt an isolation in his godless. In his greatness, he felt an isolation. And he feared, you know, if I'm not around to teach them, there's nobody else that's going to teach them. What's going to happen to them? Okay? That, you see, unbelievable. So giving, so self. The rest of us, we would have been, you know, enjoyed the bliss of the spiritual life. Avraham Avinu was concerned about the well-being of the world. So I think the lesson for all of us, and especially in any arena of chinuch, of education, is that what does that mean? That means basically, and every rav will tell you this, the kolel, every rav will tell you this, that while these people, these great people, could be sitting there steiging and learning on their own and climbing to greater spiritual heights, they give that up to help other Jews, to bring in other Jews. They give up their own spiritual growth. And you got to lock in on what a sacrifice that is. Because, you know, Mishnah and Pirkei Avos tells us that one moment of doing good deeds in this world, of Torah and Tshuva, Maisim Tovim, this world is worth all of next world. This is it. You get a limited amount of time here. Right? And people want to spend every precious moment learning Torah. There's nothing greater. And these people are willing to give this up to help others. That's what the more the Asher of the community does, your Raviv community, all these Rebbeim that do this outreach, the Kolel, they are giving up their Olam Haba, so to speak, to help others come in. And I've got to tell you something. We're all in Chinuch. Every one of us is in education, outreach in some way, in some capacity, right? We may not be a Kol Rabbi, whatever it is, we have influence on other people. Everybody's influenced by us. Right? If we know an olive and a base, then you know we can teach that to somebody else by our action, how we behave, just being a Jew out there. There's people, our friends, we have no idea what we're doing to strengthen other people. Okay? And whatever it is, sometimes we have to realize what we learn from Avraham Avinu, as important as to come to classes and do all these things, it's gewaltic, but everybody has to set a meiser, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Just like you meiser money, you got to meiser your time. You got to tithe your time and spend it with someone who is less fortunate than you, less fortunate in knowledge of Torah mitzvahs, and do outreach. And it may even mean giving up some of your own spiritual growth, to help others. The truth is, you never lose out. The truth is, you don't. The truth is, you learn from your students, and you grow from that too. Of course, your thought process should be, your state, your mental state should be, even if this means, you know, to me it looks like, at least right now, I could be going and learning with so-and-so or attending this year, but no, I'm going to help someone who doesn't know as much as I do. That's the lesson of Avraham Avinu to all of us. Okay? May we all be zeicha to climb to great spiritual heights through helping outreach our fellow Jews, bringing them under the wings of the Shekhinah as they were taught by our father Avraham Avinu. I thank you. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.